just love children. Amen. And love the innocence of children. So we live in a society that's trying to take that away from them. And I'm thankful for them. But amen. All right. How many of you got a nap today? How many of you didn't but wish you would have? How many of you think the person sitting next to you needed one? Okay. All right. Well, good. Well, I tell you what. That's great music today. Great music all day today. I tell you what, I'm looking forward to heaven, aren't you?
Amen.
And but we still got a lot of work to do here. And but I'm looking forward to it. I didn't have a message prepared tonight or this morning because I was told the earth was going to end yesterday. So, but aren't you glad it didn't, right? So, well, that's pretty much a sure thing. It's not going to when somebody thinks it will. But anyway, very, very good. Well, let's take our Bibles tonight. We're going to be in Ecclesiastes chapter number 4. Ecclesiastes chapter number 4 tonight is where we're going to be. Let me ask you a question. And just going to kind of let my hair down a little bit tonight. And I want to encourage you. I had the privilege of pastoring for several years. Loved it. Was thankful for all that the Lord allowed us to do. You know, as we come into October, how many of you know what October is? Besides the heart of fall, how many of you know what October is? Somebody, and it refers to something that goes on in the church. I don't know if we do it here, but in most churches, how many of you know what October is? It refers to your pastor.
Pastor Appreciation Month.
Pastor Appreciation Month. Now, pastor didn't tell me to put a plug in here. Okay. He didn't tell me to say anything about this. I don't even know what our church does for pastor, for his wife, for the Irwins, when we think of Pastor Appreciation Month. Let me tell you something. There's a lot that goes on behind the scenes here that you and I don't see. How do I know that? Because I worked behind the scenes for several years. So I want to encourage you this month upcoming in October to take some time. Write pastor and his wife an encouraging note. Amen. Give him a gift card. Give him a hug. Let's do something that shows him that we appreciate them.
Amen.
Let me ask you a question. Do you appreciate them? Amen?
Amen?
So let's show it. Amen? When you're appreciated, you like it shown, right?
Amen.
So let's do something. All right. I put the little plug in. He can give me $20 later. All right. So Ecclesiastes chapter number 4 tonight. Let me ask you a question here. You ever just have a really bad day? Please don't say it was today. But I mean, just a really, really bad day. You know, I'm reminded of a story of a taxi driver. And a passenger in a taxi leaned over to tap the driver and asked the driver a question, gently tapping him on the shoulder to get his attention. The driver screamed, lost control of the cab, nearly hit a bus, drove up onto the curb, and stopped just inches from a large plate window. For a few moments, everything was silent in the cab. Then the shaking driver said, are you okay? I'm sorry, but you scared the living daylights out of me. The badly shaken passenger apologized to the driver and said, I didn't realize that a mere tap on the shoulder would startle someone so badly. The driver replied, no, I'm the one who's sorry. It's entirely my fault. You see, today is my very first day driving a cab. I've been driving a hearse for the past 25 years. So the reality is he had a really, really bad day. But you know, when you think tonight we're gonna look at this thought tonight, the value of friendships. Aren't you glad that you have friends? Or at least you think you have friends, right? Aren't you glad you have friends? You know, when we think of relationships, one of the keys to relationships is communication. And communicating properly. And I'm reminded of this couple that had a little argument. It goes something kind of like this. Tact is one of the lost arts in the 20th century. I heard about a man who lacked tact. Now, how many of you have a spouse that lacks tact. How many of you know what tact is, okay? They just come out and they just say it. I mean, if it's black, it's black. If it's white, it's white. Well, that's what we have here in this story. He was the type of person who just couldn't say anything graciously. He and his wife owned a poodle. They loved this dog. It was the object of their affection. The wife was to take a trip abroad, and she made it to New York on the first day. She called home and asked her husband, "How are things, honey?" He said, "Hun, the dog's dead." She was devastated. After collecting her thoughts, she asked, "Why do you do that? Why can't you be more tactful?" He says, "Well, what do you want me to say? The dog died." She says, "Well, you can give it to me in stages. For example, you could have said the dog went out on the roof. And then when I travel to London the next day and call, you could tell me, 'Honey, the dog fell off the roof. And to be taken to the vet. In fact, he's in the hospital, not doing well at all.' And finally, I can call you from Rome, and I can ask you how the dog's doing. And you say, 'Honey, brace yourself. Our dog died.' I can handle that." The husband paused and said, "Oh, okay, I see." Then she asked, "By the way, how's Mother?" He said, "She's on the roof." So communication is key. But tonight, as we find Ecclesiastes chapter 4, you know what the Bible says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. You know, it's okay to laugh in church, okay? And I don't laugh at people, but you can laugh with people. But Ecclesiastes chapter number 4 is where we're going to be tonight. Once you're there, let's all stand for the reading of the Word of God tonight. Ecclesiastes chapter number 4. And we're going to look at verse number 9 through verse number 12. And the Bible says, "Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken." I want to speak to you tonight on this topic, the value of friendships. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we love you. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your tender mercies. We thank you for what you're doing in hearts in this church. We thank you what you're doing in my heart. Lord, I pray tonight that you'll help me to be a blessing. And Lord, may we find encouragement from this topic, talking about friendship and the blessings that we have of our friends, how we can be a blessing. And Lord, we love you. We thank you for your goodness, for we ask it in Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You can be seated tonight. How many of you remember, maybe you know him through reading different things, Jackie Robinson? What sport did Jackie Robinson play? Baseball. Very good. Now, I read this in a biography. Jackie Robinson was the first African-American to play Major League Baseball. While breaking baseball's color barrier, he faced jeering crowds in every stadium. While playing one day in his home stadium in Brooklyn, he committed an error. His own fans began to ridicule him. He stood at second base humiliated while the fans jeered. Then shortstop Pee Wee Reese came over and stood next to him. He put his arm around Jackie Robinson and faced the crowd. The fans grew quiet. Robinson later said that arm around his shoulder saved his career. You know, it's during difficult days and difficult seasons in life when having that friend is exactly what you need. One of the most miserable places to be in life is when you're simply lonely. You know, as I think of that story, you know, you might say to yourself, "I wish I had a friend like that." Or, "I'm glad I have a friend like that." But tonight what I want to do very quickly, and I honestly only have 12 pages of notes, okay? Very quickly. I want to encourage you to be that friend tonight. Amen. To be that friend tonight. I wonder if you could look across this auditorium tonight, and I wonder if you could see somebody, say, "You know, it's been a while since I just said hey to them." since I said hi. You know, it's amazing to me. Have you ever found yourself receiving something, maybe a note of encouragement, a text message, an email, a phone call from somebody? They had no idea what you were going through, but you know what? That phone call or that text message was exactly what you needed. Amen. You know, God works that way. And you know, as we think about this thought of friendships, let me ask you a question. What crosses your mind when you think of the word friend? What crosses your mind when you think of the word friend? You know, the definition of friend is a person you know well and regard with affection and trust. It's someone that puts your interest before theirs. It's someone that looks to encourage you before looking to receive something else in return. I'm reminded of a British publication once offered a prize for the best definition of a friend. Among the thousands of answers received were the following: one who multiplies joys, divides grief, and whose honesty is inviolable. One who understands our silence was another one. Another response was a volume of sympathy bound in cloth. They have really nice grammar over there in Britain. Another one was a watch that beats true for all time and never runs down. Some pretty good definitions. The winning definition was a friend is the one who comes in when the world has gone out. One that comes in when the world has gone out. What kind of friend are you tonight? What kind of friend are you to your brothers and sisters in Christ? You know, we live in a society today that says, get what's mine, mine, mine. It's not about giving. It's not about encouraging. It's all about what is it? What can this person do that's going to make my life better, isn't it? It's the society in which we live in. But you know, I'm thankful tonight that regardless of those that call us friends here on earth, there is one who calls us friend and is greater friend than anyone we could ever have. Amen. His name is Jesus. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 24, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You know what? There's going to be times when everyone else in your life might walk out. But when they walk out, be reminded tonight that there's one that will never walk out. In fact, he's in this room right now. Aren't you thankful for the ever-present help? And his name is Jesus tonight. I'm so thankful that we have a relationship that even when life goes dark, there's a man named Jesus. There's a relationship that we can have there. You know, as we come to this passage of Scripture tonight, Ecclesiastes was written by who? Solomon. Somebody just said Song of Solomon, okay? It was written by Solomon, but it was written during a dark, lonely period in his life. And as you think about this passage, we come to this passage of Scripture where he's in a very lonely place, and he gives us some requirements that I believe will be helpful for us tonight when it comes to being that true friend. So tonight I want you to see three characteristics that I believe are essential if we're going to be that friend tonight. Notice with me first, a true friend provides encouragement. A true friend provides encouragement. Notice in our text in verse number 9 of chapter 4, it says, two are better than one. Now, let me ask you men in here that are married, how many of you married up? You better all raise your hand. I'm just telling you right now. You know, and the reality is, when you think of that, two are better than one. I'm thankful for my wife. I'm thankful for the relationship that we have. And aren't you men glad for the relationship you had? Everyone says amen. One, two, three. Amen. But the Bible says two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. We know that when two work together, they can get more done than one can, right? And so when you think of this thought of encouragement, the thought this morning here tonight is this, that we all need encouragement from time to time. Amen. Have you ever been encouraged by somebody and says, well, I wish they wouldn't have said that. I wish they wouldn't have told me that, you know, I look good. Wish they wouldn't have said that, you know, they appreciate me and they appreciate my family and they appreciate, I mean, I wish they wouldn't have done that. No, when we get encouragement, it's like, wow, it's confirmation. Thank you, I needed that. Amen. You know, when is the last time you found someone in our church and just simply encouraged them, expecting nothing in return.
Amen.
When's the last time you went up to preacher and just put your arm around him and said, "Preacher, I just want you to know I love you"? When's the last time you went to our deacons and said, "Hey, thank you so much for all that you do here"? When's the last time that you went up to Miss Tammy and just gave her a hug and said, "Thank you so much, we love you"? When's the last time you went to the Irwins and said, "Hey, we're so thankful for you, for all that you do here"?
Amen.
When's the last time? You know, I guarantee if you go to them, they're not going to say, no, stop. They'd be like, stop. But you know, encouragement is vital.
Amen.
It's vital in our marriages. It's vital in our relationships. It's vital in our church life. A true friend provides encouragement. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 23, "A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good is it?" In Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 30, "The light of the eyes rejoiceth the heart, and a good report maketh the bones fat." Reminded of William Arthur Ward, he made this statement. He said, "Flatter me, and I may not believe you. Criticize me and I may not like you. Ignore me and I may not forgive you. Encourage me and I will not forget you." You know, as we look this morning, there's times in our lives that we fall. There's times in our lives that we just sometimes want to throw in the towel. We just kind of give up. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17, "Iron sharpeneth iron, and so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friends." You know, sometimes people don't want to hear all the wrong that they're doing.
Amen.
Sometimes people don't say, "Well, I want to encourage you, and this is my way of encouraging you." Did you hear what so-and-so said? Did you see that thing? I can't believe they said that. I can't believe they did that. And you know what this encouragement session turns into? A gossip hour. It's a real dangerous place to be.
Amen. Yeah.
It's a cancer inside of the local church.
Amen.
So you know what? I remember when I was growing up, my mom and dad used to always tell me, if you don't want it repeated, don't say it at all. If you don't want it repeated, don't say it at all. Sometimes we use that verse, "Iron sharpeneth iron." No, what I want to do is I'm trying to chisel away the rough parts of your life. Right? That's what they say. But you know what? Usually it's the ones that want to criticize you every step of the way. They're the ones that refuse to receive any type of constructive criticism ever.
Amen.
Got real quiet in here. When's the last time that you just found yourself looking to encourage someone?
Amen.
You know, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 17, "A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." Let's be honest tonight. You know, when God created you and when God created me, He created us with a desire for there to be companionship, for relationships to abound.
Amen.
But you know, let's be honest tonight. Men and women are just, they're different, right?
Amen.
You know, they're supposed to be.
Right.
Men are supposed to act like men. They're supposed to look like men. They're supposed to dress like men. They're supposed to talk like men. They're supposed to act like men. And women are supposed to do the same. Not act like men, but act like women. But you know, that's a very confusing process, and that's a confusing principle that's being taught in our society today. But you know, I was thinking of the differences between men and women, and I came across this illustration that I think you'll enjoy. Women, don't be mad at me when I'm done reading this, okay? A sign in a bank lobby reads, "Please note that this bank is installing new drive-through teller machines, enabling customers to withdraw cash without leaving their vehicles. Customers using this new facility are requested to use the procedures outlined below when accessing their accounts. After months of careful research, male and female procedures have been developed. Please follow the appropriate steps for your gender." mail procedure. Drive up to the cash machine, put down your car window, insert card into the machine and enter PIN, enter amount of cash required and withdraw, retrieve card, cash, and receipt, put window up, drive off. Simple enough. Female procedure. Why are you laughing? Drive up to the cash machine, reverse and back up the required amount to a line car window with the machine, set parking brake, put the window down, find handbag, remove all contents on the passenger seat to locate the card, tell the person on your cell phone you'll call them back and when then hang up, attempt to insert card into machine, open car door to allow easier access to machine due to its excessive distance from the car, insert card, reinsert card the right way, dig through the handbag and find a diary with your PIN written on the inside of the back page, enter your PIN, press cancel and re-enter your PIN correctly, enter amount of cash required, check makeup in rearview mirror, retrieve cash and receipt, empty handbag again to locate wallet and place cash inside, write debit amount in check register and place receipt in back of checkbook, recheck your makeup, drive forward 2 feet, reverse back to cash machine, retrieve your card, re-empty handbag, located card holder and place card in the slot provided, give dirty look and air to irritated male driver waiting behind you, restart stalled engine and pull off, redial person on the cell phone, drive for 2 or 3 miles, release the parking brake. We're different. There's just something different about men, and there's something different about women. But you know, everything that God created, He created on purpose, with purpose. And aren't you thankful for who God created? Amen? You know, as I go through this passage of Scripture and I think of, not necessarily this passage, but just the Old Testament, I'm encouraged by people that God used despite the mistakes that they made. We talked about this a little bit this morning. I think of David when he sinned with Bathsheba. How God still used him in a great way. Called him a man after God's own heart. I think of Jonah and how he disobeyed God and went the opposite direction that God had told him to go to, and yet God still used him in a great way. It was despite what they were able to do, because it's not what we can do, it's what He has done for us. Amen. So as you think about that tonight, and my challenge to you is, God is still in the encouraging business, and we should be too. Amen. As I think about this, and I think about the principles of this passage of Scripture, if you and I are going to be a true friend, then we must be an encouraging friend. But notice, secondly, not only must we be an encouraging friend, but a true friend provides accountability. A true friend provides accountability. Notice verse number 10, "For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone?" A true friend provides accountability. You know, it's so important that we provide accountability to our friends. You know, as you think of David, when he sinned with Bathsheba, his friend Nathan came to him and said, "Thou art the man." Nathan didn't come to David because he didn't like David. He didn't come to David because he was trying to get a pat on the back. He came to David because he loved David and he wanted David to do what was right. And you know, what we need in our lives is we need friends that are going to come to us even when the world has walked out, even when we're choosing to live in sin and say, "Hey, you know what? We shouldn't be doing this. We shouldn't be going there. We shouldn't be looking at that. We shouldn't be listening to this. We shouldn't be dressing this way. We shouldn't be reading this." A true friend provides accountability. So what's accountability? It's willingness to accept responsibility or account for one's actions. I'll tell you what accountability is not. Waiting for your friend to fall so you can point it out to others. That's not accountability. You know, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 36, "But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment." Understand this. One day, each and every one of us are going to give an account for what we have said. We're going to give an account for the life that we live. It's not our friend's job to point out every issue in our life. John Gardner made this statement. I thought it's a great statement. To sensible men, every day is a day of reckoning. Let me ask you a question this morning. An accountable friend tonight, an accountable friend desires accountability. But I'm going to tell you what, it's hard to ask for accountability. Isn't it? Because we have this idea of the life we're going to live. We have this idea of what we want to do. And then when somebody comes in and they decide, well, we're going to kind of change this up some. No. You know, accountability is great. Accountability, whether it be for things that you see. Accountability for places that you go. Accountability for things that we do. And you know, it's so important that we have friends that help hold us accountable. Let me ask you a question. Do you have someone in your life that holds you accountable? You know, husbands, let's be honest, we don't like it when our wives point out things that we need to do better, do we? Well, maybe you do, but I don't. But you know, that's essential. Amen. You know, wives, your husband was given to you by God to help lead you, and he should be encouraging you, and he should be helping you by holding you accountable. Right? And so it's so important to understand this truth. And as we think about this, you know, if I'm going to be a true friend, am I encouraging my brother? Am I helping hold them accountable? You know, I'm reminded of the story of, obviously it's not a real story, but I think it kind of helps drive the point home. Reminded of story, Peter stopped a man at the gate of heaven and asked him to give an account of himself. "Tell me one good thing you did in your life," demanded Peter. The man paused for a moment and then responded, "I saw a gang harassing an elderly woman, so I kicked the leader right in the leg." Peter asked, "When did this happen?" The man replied, "About 40 seconds ago." You know, as you think about that story and you think, you know, we are constantly looking for ways to help hold other people accountable. But you know what we really need? We need to have a heart of sincerity that says, I need someone in my life that's going to help hold me accountable. Amen. True friends, they're encouragers. True friends hold people accountable. And then lastly, a true friend provides security. Are you a safe person? And what I mean by that is not do you buckle up when you drive, not do you drive under the speed limit, not do you wear a life preserver when you're on a boat. I'm talking, are you a safe person to be around? Meaning when someone confides in you, when someone comes to you with the heaviness on their heart, they know without a shadow of a doubt that they can come to you without worry that within the next 24 to 48 hours, they're going to see it on Facebook. Amen. Or they're going to hear it from somebody else knowing that you're the only person that they told that to. Are you a safe friend? You know, there's true safety in a true friend. George Eliot stated, "Oh, the inexpressible comfort of feeling safe with a person, having there neither to weigh thoughts nor measure works, but to pour them all out just as they are chaff and grain together, knowing that a faithful hand will take and sift them, keep what is worth keeping, and then with the breath of kindness blow the rest away." You see, a safe friend looks at you for who you are. They're a genuine friend. We come to our passage as we kind of wrap things up tonight, and we see in verse number 11, again, if two lie together, they have heat, but how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Listen, church, tonight, society will do what they can to dilute the Word of God, to hurt the church, to hurt the man of God, and to hurt the home. And what we need is we don't need that going on inside of the church because we already have it going on outside of the church. What we need is a body of believers that's going to band together, that's going to say, get thee behind me, Satan, because we're going to have none of that here. It's a safe place. This place should be a safe place. And I'm so thankful for this church, and I'm thankful for the friendships that I have developed in just the short time that I have been here. But I can say from those that I have talked with that this is an encouraging church. That this is a accountable church. I'm so thankful that Pastor Ross, when he comes into this pulpit each and every week, he's going to say things that sometimes I don't want to hear. Because he's not just accountable to you, but more importantly, he's accountable to the Lord, and he's accountable to the Word of God. And it's so important, and I'm so thankful for that. And as we think, as we wrap things up tonight, I ask you this question. Are you a safe friend? You see, true friends are reliable. What's that mean? You do what you say you're going to do. True friends are confided in. True friends are trusted. True friends are available. True friends are secure. You know, Jesus gave us a perfect example of a true friend. In John chapter 15 and verse 13, the Bible says, greater love hath not man than this, hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. I am so thankful tonight that when the world walks out, that we have one that sticks around. Amen. Aren't you thankful for that? Amen. How many of you like hunting? Well, I'm seeing women's hands up. That's awesome, okay? I love hunting. I get my meat at Walmart every single day, or every week. That's the only hunting that I know how to do. I would love to hunt, but I don't fish either. I mean, I buy that at Red Lobster. But I'm reminded of a story of two men that were out hunting in the northern U.S. Suddenly, one yelled to the other, and they looked up to see a grizzly charging at them. The first started to frantically put on his tennis shoes. And his friend anxiously asked, what are you doing? Don't you know that you can't outrun a grizzly bear? I don't have to outrun a grizzly bear, dude. I just got to outrun you. What kind of friend is that? You laugh. You would do the same thing, okay? I'm so glad that when the grizzly bears of life roar, and when they come at us at full speed, that there's a friend that stays and fights and wins. Amen. The one who defeated death for you, he is my best friend. I love the hymn, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus, All Our Sins and Griefs to Bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." You know, that friend named Jesus, he doesn't take time off. He doesn't have voicemail. He is always available. My question tonight, as we are done, what kind of friend are you? Are you an encouraging friend? Are you an accountable friend? Are you a safe friend? There's value tonight in friendships. Let's pray together, every head bowed, every eye closed tonight. No one looking around.